Mr. Jack Sykes, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Sykes?
Yes, I was born in Nottingham, in Spalding Road in Nottingham, on the 6th of November 1919.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father was a bus conductor and eventually a bus driver. And eventually he joined the South Knots at the same time, well, before I did. And it was one of the reasons I joined the South Knots.
Oh, but coming back to that, yeah. What? How many were there in the family?
There was my... well, I was brought up by my grandma because my mother died. I was born in Nottingham, but I was born while my mother was on holiday. And we actually lived at Sheringham. And my
in Norfolk?
In Norfolk. And whilst he was at Norfolk, my dad was a milkman. But my mother died, and then I came to Nottingham, and my dad came to Nottingham, and I lived with my grandma, as did my dad, and then he was a Muslim.
And you were an only child?
I have a sister. Yes, I have a sister.
And yes. Did you have a comfortable upbringing? Were you...
Yes, I was. I think with being with my grandparents, like most grandparents, I think we tend to be a bit spoiled, if anything, you know. And so I was. I had a very nice upbringing.
What about school? What schools did you go to?
Well, I first of all went to Windmill Lane School, which is quite near to Spalding Road, and from there. I went to Trent Bridge School near Mundella, near the Mundella School in on the embankment, on the Trent embankment.
What was the Trent Bridge School? Is that
Trent Bridge? It was. It wasn't. It was. I think they used to call it a secondary school, not a grammar school. It was a secondary school. The grammar school was. Mundella, and ours was the one at the time.
What kind of an education did you get there? Do you think it was a good one?
Quite good, yes. We did the usual subjects, maths and French, geography, music, of which music I was quite interested in because I used to play the violin. And I was a member of the school orchestra. And we used to go to places like the Albert Hall and play for... You know, for little deals and things like that. This was quite a good, quite nice.
What about, were you a member of any of the boys' organisations, Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, anything like that?
Yes, I was a member of the Boys Brigade. I had a friend, his name was Maxwell, and his dad was the captain of the Boys Brigade, and this was on London Road at Nottingham.
How old were you when you joined, about?
I should imagine, I don't know, 13, 14, something like that.
And how many years were you in it?
I was in it 3 or 4 years.
What kind of activities did you do?
Well, the usual things we used to, mostly billiards, snooker, table tennis, running, cricket, football, usual.
So it's quite a lot of sports and games.
Oh, yes.
Was there much drill or religious instruction?
Not really any religious instruction, a fair amount of drill.
What kind of drill was it? How military orientated was it?
Well, just marching mostly, just, you know, left turn, right turn, quick march, that kind of thing, you know.
So not terribly military?
Not terribly military.
Any camping?
Yes. not very far, and to as far as sort of Ratcliffe-on-Trent, that kind of thing. Nothing spectacular.
Were you in anything else other than the Boys Brigade?
Well, as a very young man, I was a member of the Cubs. And we went... camping, and we came to Farnsfield camping with the Cubs, but that's as much as I remember about that. So I went from the Cubs to the Boys' Brigade.
Now, what were you planning to do when you came up to the time for you to leave school?
To be perfectly honest, I really didn't know what to do. And eventually, like lots of people, somebody knew somebody who knew somebody else who offered me a job. And I ended up being a butcher's errand boy.
And what year did you leave school? How old were you, rather? It's probably easier.
14 when I left school.
So that's about 1933.
That would be about it, actually.
And you left to be a butcher's errand boy.
And I was a butcher's errand boy in the mornings. And then I was offered a job as a grocer's errand boy in the afternoon. So for a while I had two jobs, a butcher's errand boy in the morning and a grocer's errand boy in the afternoon. And then eventually I was offered a full-time job by the butcher. So I ended up as a butcher's errand boy. Used to go slaughtering and all that kind of thing. I was brought up sort of a bit of an apprentice butcher for a while.
Did you enjoy the work?
Oh yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yes, very much, yes.
And how long were you doing that for?
Well, until I was old enough to drive, and I always had an ambition to drive, so I think it was 1936, I think it was when I was about 17, and I think it was the first years of the driving tests that I saved my money and went and learned to drive. And at the time, the other people that taught to drive were ex-policemen, and I always remember learning to drive for this ex-policeman. And the day I passed my test, I failed it the first time. After about a month, I took another test, and then I went and got a job driving, and I was driving for King's on Fire Lane. It was a wholesale also grocers.
And were you doing that until the war broke out?
I was doing that for a while, and part of the job was to collect stuff from the fruit market, and I was eventually offered a job in the fruit market, where I became a driver for Curnow's, the fruit merchants, and I was driving there until the war started.
So that's had a look at that side of things. Now, you say, how exactly did you come to join the South Notts Hussars? You said your father joined. Could you run through the sequence and what year it was and everything?
Well, I can't remember the year, but my dad was in the South Notts. He had some friends in the South Notts, and he joined the South Notts, and he told me about it. And so I was quite keen myself.
What did he say that attracted you? I mean,
Dad was into signals, and I was always interested in signals. I'm not quite sure why, but he was into signals, and it sounded intriguing to me. And so I decided to give it a whirl, and so I joined the South Fox.
Do you know how old you were?
I must have been about 17, I should imagine.
So about 1936, 1937.
1936, I'm pretty certain, because I did two camps with the South Notts. Whether you can check on it, one was with it at Bridlington, I remember, and one was at in Northumberland.
Reedsdale.
I did one at Reedsdale and one at Bridlington. So that might give you an idea of the years.
Yeah. Right, and what did you have to do to join? Do you remember how you went about joining?
Well, as far as I remember, I was introduced by my dad, and he knew the right people, shall we say, that I was taken on.
So there was no particular examination or anything of you?
Not as I recall. Oh, I went to medical.
Was it a strict medical?
Fairly strict, yeah. You know, the usual thing, you know, breathe in, breathe out, cough and all that kind of thing, you know, the usual method. It was fairly, fairly strict, yes.
And that was at the Derby Road Drill Hall, would it
Derby
be?
Derby Road Drill Hall, that's right, yes. And that was the only place I ever went to, was the Derby Road Drill Hall.
So, could you tell me a little about your training? Were you immediately put into the signal section?
Yes, I was immediately put into the signal section because I'd expressed a desire to go into that. So, I was into that, and...
Why hadn't you... I mean, you liked driving. Why didn't you want to drive in the army as well? Because you could have been a driver there, couldn't you?
I suppose I could have been, but... I suppose with driving professionally, in a way, because I was driving all day, it never really occurred to me, you know, to want to drive in the army. And, well, I won't jump ahead, but...
Okay, I shouldn't have interrupted you there. So you were put in the signal section, and
that's right.
And what did it consist of in those days?
Well, in those days it was Morse, the Morse code, and we used to do Morse code on a key and transmit on a key. Semaphore, you know, with flags, and a wireless set. Number one wireless set, they were more or less coming in, where you were transmitting on a wireless set either by Morse code or by speech. And also, we had exchanges, little field exchanges, where you connected all the wires up, you know, from various from batteries and HQs and what have you, and operated that, you know, the field exchange.
So, originally you were being trained in how to operate these various forms of signalling.
That's right.
Did you have any trouble with learning Morse, or had your father taught it you?
Well, my father hadn't taught it me, but I took to it like a duck to water, really. And I think it's simply because I was interested in it.
So you had no trouble learning it at all?
None at all, actually. It was one of these things which seemed to come to me fairly naturally. I mean, I've had trouble learning lots of things, but that seemed to be quite, and I can still remember it to this day, sort of thing, you know.
What about the various technical aspects of, for instance, the exchange or the wireless? Did you?
Well, you didn't go a lot into the technical aspects of it. Only how to check the circuits, change the valves, because there were valves in those days, you know, and the switchboard itself was not terribly hard to understand, you know what I mean? If a circuit went wrong, you took it out and changed it, sort of thing. It was just fairly straightforward.
So you were just taught simple repairs?
That's right.
And who were, how many were there in the signal section?
I should imagine about that time, about 20 people, I should imagine.
Now, how was the signal section? Were you part of a battery signal section or the brigade signal section?
No, I was part of a battery.
And which, could you just say?
At that time, I was in 425 battery. Yes, 425 battery.
And who, do you remember your officers or sergeants or any?
The only officer I can remember was a bloke named Shakespeare. The sergeants, I can't remember, except my dad, who was a sergeant at the time, and Sergeant Harry Sykes, he was. And, so I learned quite a bit from him, but I can't remember who he is at the moment.
How did you fit in to the unit? I mean,
well, I seemed to fit in fine, really, and I got on quite well, and I remember one night, somebody didn't show up, and I was showing somebody else how to work one of these things, and I think it was the exchange at the time, and the officer, it might have been the RSM at the time, who was a bloke named Bennett, who eventually became an officer, and he said, you seem pretty interested in it, and I was. And I ended up getting a stripe, I think.
How long was that after you joined, about?
Well, it couldn't have been too long, because by the time the war started, I was a bombardier anyway. And, I mean, the war started in 1939, didn't it? So between 36 and 39, I picked up two stripes.
So you got to be a Lance Corporal first?
That's right, a Lance Bombardier.
Yes.
Lance Bombardier and then a Bombardier.
And did that make any difference to you? I mean...
you know, except you got a bit more pay.
Did it separate you out from people without any rank?
Not at that time, no, no. The only time you got separated out was when you became sergeant. Then you went in the sergeant mess.
Did you actually do drill? Besides learning your specialisation, did you do much basic drill?
Yes, and we used to come up to a camp near Ollerton. At the weekends, we used to do a fair number of weekends, and we came up to a camp near Ollerton. Was it Proteus? Proteus Camp, I think it was called. And we used to go there and do drilling and practice, you know, under the signals and all that kind of thing. And do live drill and marching.
And did you enjoy it?
Loved it, yes. I've always loved anything to do with the army.
What about when you went away on camps? You said Bridlington and Reedsdale, the two you remember.
Well, we used to do manoeuvres then, you know, going out, laying the lines, establishing communications from the observation posts back to the batteries, sending fire and instructions from the batteries back to from the OP back to the batteries. And it was at that time that I became more involved in running, helping to run the signals, and I had a motorbike, which I hated.
Why didn't you like it?
I never did like the motorbike. Yet I had to ride it a lot, but because you had to ride it over rough country and all that kind of things. But I used to lead the trucks that were laying the wires between the battery and the...
Well, let's have a look at that. How did you go about laying the lines between the battery and the OP?
Well, I would ride up on my motorbike with the battery commander, who would establish an observation post. He would give me the coordinates of the battery, and I would, with this line laying, leave a telephone at the battery HQ and lay a line down to the battery. So it's established.
And what did you use to lay a line?
A truck. We had a truck with a reel on the back with the and driving it along with the wire running out on the reel, you know, as it went along, the wire was laid, and we'd stop at junctions and either put it high above
road junctions
or buried underneath or whatever, you know.
Was the wire fairly strong stuff then to stand that?
It was fairly strong. We used to lay two wires, one positive, one negative type wire, you know. And then once we'd laid it and established the communications and tested it, we'd patrol it to make sure that it was laid properly and that people didn't run over it all. If someone did have to run over it, go and repair it, you know, that kind of thing.
So that's one side of your job. Yeah. What the other side would be practicing being in the OP, I presume?
Yeah, well, when you were in the OP, what you did, you just took orders from the battery commander.
He'd be the OP officer, usually.
He'd be the OP officer. Who would just relay the things like angular sight, range, fire, and then alter the range and everything, and you would just do that.
Would he actually relay it? He'd tell you, and you'd speak into the telephone or whatever?
We did the actual talking. We were his mouthpiece, because he'd be there with the binoculars, looking at where the shells were landing, and adjusting it, we would do the communications.
And presumably, another job for a signal would be being at the back of the gun position, receiving.
And then we had one bloke with the I'm not quite sure. There's no little down that they've been very much, but except for laying the line. But he'd probably be with the battery commander who was relaying the information to the gun. So, like, take post, aim, fire, all that kind of thing.
But your place, usually?
My place, mostly, because I was fairly mobile in between the laying the lines and maintaining the lines and everything. Until we got onto the wireless sets, and then we'd establish the OP officer would have a wireless set in his truck. So we were more or less established straight away. In other words, even on the move, you could, within a certain distance, you could keep in touch with the battery.
But this came in later, more,
this
didn't it?
This was a bit later, towards the beginning of the war. And, but we still laid the lines as well as a backup, so that you got two lines of communication.
Now, do you practice this sort of laying out and things at Bridlington and Reedsdale?
That's
did
right.
You? Anything else you did there that you can recall?
The only thing that I can recall is that for the first time in my life I was on guard duty.
And, what was that like?
Well, not too bad. We did 2 hours on and 4 hours off, and we just stood at the main gates, and anybody came in late or anything, we just challenged them, and that was it. Nothing really spectacular. You know.
What did you think of the just living outdoor in tents? Did that bother you?
Well, we used to have, we had to put our own tents up, we had bell tents, and well, I quite enjoyed it actually. There was, I forget how many in the tent, but you know, we had the heads outside, feet in the middle, and it was quite good fun there, wasn't it? You know, it was good fun with a lot of the chaps.
You socialised with them, did you, in the evening at camp?
Oh, yes. We used to probably go and have a game of table tennis or darts.
Would that be in a local pub or at
I've an idea.
The canteen?
I remember. I think it was more in a canteen, you know, on the side. I didn't drink or smoke at the time, so I wasn't much of a going to pubs thing, you know, and most of the mates we weren't doing that album, so, you know.
Were all the people from similar origins to yourself, or was in 425 and 426 battery, or was it noticeable that people were from different backgrounds?
Well, all the signallers and the people that were mates of mine were all pretty similar. They're all Nottingham people. It was a Nottingham, what you might term a Nottingham battery, and it was only later on when we'd lost people that we got sort of outsiders from that.
What about people from slightly different higher or lower classes, so as they say? Yeah. Did you notice, for instance, what the grammar school boys and things like that, were they a noticeable?
Not really, no. We not that I can recall. There was no snobbery or anything like that. We all seemed to get on well together, and I don't think anybody bothered, really, whether you came from a secondary school or a private school or any other school.
What about 426 battery? Was there any element of...
There was a certain amount of rivalry between the two batteries because, you know, when we used to go on camps, I mean, we used to compete against one another.
How? In what way?
Well, who got into action first and all that kind of thing, you know, who laid the lines quickest and...
They were proper competitions, were they, or was it informal?
I think they were more or less proper competitions, you know, did it really to liven things up, you know, and I can remember as maintaining the lines and everything and getting things, especially to do things fairly quickly and being timed on doing them.
And you enjoyed that element of competition?
Oh, yeah. In fact, one of the things we did do while I was in, we did so well 1 year at camp, that we ended up going to fire for the King's Cup down at Lark Hill. And I went on that.
What do you remember about that?
Not a lot, really, except that we all went down in a bus, and I don't think we did awfully well, to be quite, if I remember rightly. I think we copied a bit, to be quite honest, but I don't remember an awful lot about it. I remember us going, but I'm pretty sure we didn't win or anything like that.
So the competition with the difference between 425 and 426, it was more rivalry based on competition. There was no ill feeling.
Not really. No, because eventually I ended up in 426 that chamber. But that's a bit later on.
I will be coming on, yes. Yeah. Were you aware of the approach of war? You know, you joined in 36, 37, around about then. The 3 years that war was approaching, the Munich and things. Were you aware of foreign affairs, Hitler and that sort of thing?
Not a lot. Well, there was a bit of a scare whilst I was working for the grocers, because at the time we used to supply to the Nottingham Pub, where a lot of what you might term well-off people live. And they started to hoard food a bit, and I was busy delivering quite a lot of food to people, you know. That was one of the things that worked to mind, but then that seemed to die off a bit. And then, as I say, I went to work for this, but I wasn't really aware of it.
You didn't follow newspapers?
I was not very politically motivated.
When did you first realise that war was imminent?
Well, really, I suppose a few days before war was declared, when we got called up.
So that was
more or less it, you know. We had a thing and we got called up, and I was called up and stationed in the chapel at the side of the general on Derby Road. And the day war was actually declared, I think it was on a Sunday, wasn't it? I can't remember. I was on stick guard, actually outside the...
What's stick guard?
Well, of course, at the time, you know, we used to have horses. I never had to ride them, but and we used to have a riding stick. And that's what we used. We didn't have a gun, in other words. We didn't have rifles or anything like that. And I was on guard duty at the general gates the day war was declared.
Was it an efficient call-up, do you think? I mean, did everything go to plan?
Well, as far as we seemed to, we got called up, and it didn't seem long before we all had uniforms and kits and that kind of thing, you know. And we were doing a bit of drilling and that sort of thing.
Was your father still in?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, my dad got called up at the... There's a story told about my dad who was driving his bus and got called up, and actually drove his bus load of passengers to the... he was on the Derby Road route, and his mate stopped him and told him that we called up Harry, and drove his bus down to the depot and got out and said, "I've been called up," and that was it. And he just left the bus and all the lot.
Was that actually a true story?
Yeah, that is actually true. And if you'd like to confirm it, I think they've seen the order in which it happened, but other people will tell you the same story, so you can check it with other people. Yes, it's a true story.
How did you like being in the same unit as your father? If you were working
well,
quite...
Yeah, he was all right. I can't remember an awful lot about it, really, except that when we first got called up, but I had no idea he was in a different troop. I think we had two troops to a battery. And he was in one and I was in the other, I think.
Do you remember which you were in?
Well, the day troop. can't remember, but probably 80.
We can always check later.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I think it was A and B troop, if I remember rightly.
That was 425, yes.
That was 425, and I think I was in A and B. But Dad eventually, and I don't know when, was Major Sergeant Major, and he was Battery Sergeant Major, so he went out of the signals and became the Battery Sergeant Major for 425. And I think that was at the end of the war, you know, as far as I can remember.
Was it strange for you with him being a very senior NCO? I mean, was it did the lads rib you about it, or?
Not that I can recall. I don't, you know, it was pretty informal, you know. I don't recall any problems arising from it.
Were you proud of being territorials when you were called up?
Well, yes, actually, yes. I think we were, really, you know. Well, when you say proud, I don't know if proud, we were quite... I think because we were all volunteers, really. We'd all volunteered to join. It was not a matter of being conscripted. We'd all sort of volunteered to join, so we were all, if you like, proud to be called up.